This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. What is the most rational or tangible approach to holiday giving? Professor Peter Singer is going to join us later in the hour to discuss the roots and consequences of altruism. Did you do any giving yesterday on Giving Tuesday? We're also continuing to retool some holiday Christmas carols to reflect the digital Christmas experience. The movie Elf, downloading on your Firewire, email alerts of Christmas deals. You know, we're messing around with Christmas carols, and we want your help. Reach out, join the Christmas Lyric Festival of Yuletide Digital Cheer at thetakeaway.org. Call us at 8778-MY-TAKE. We're getting all kinds of great stuff. Just remember to use the hashtag DigitalXmas. We begin, though, with a discussion of how the U.S. is playing catch-up in Asia this week, perhaps. Is the Obama administration caught unprepared for what looks like a major power struggle going on in North Korea? Kim Jong-un ousting powerful former mentors and consolidating power among some younger leaders. The unrest in Thailand continues. Perhaps there's little the U.S. can do here, but Vice President Joe Biden in Tokyo yesterday stepped right into the middle of a dispute between Japan and China in the East China Sea.
We, the United States, are deeply concerned by the attempt to unilaterally change the status quo in the East China Sea. This action has raised regional tensions and increased the risk of accidents and miscalculation.
Vice President Biden is in China today. Is the U.S. playing catch-up in this dispute over the sovereignty of a chain of islands in the East China Sea? Do we have a vital interest here? And if so, how do we defend it? Two voices, the military and diplomatic views on all this. Peter Dutton is professor and director of the China Maritime Studies Institute at the U.S. Naval War College. Peter, welcome.
Thank you.
And joining us is Nancy Soderberg, former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. Ambassador, welcome.
Thank you so much.
So, Peter, let's begin with you. Could we do anything militarily here to either push back on China's claim of sovereignty of the airspace over these islands in any way that wouldn't actually raise the stakes, raise provocation levels?
Well, let me clarify a few parts of your statement there. I think China's declaration of an air defense identification zone, or an AID, is actually not a claim of sovereignty. And in fact, their Ministry of Defense spokesman came out yesterday and explain that that's not at all what China is trying to do. In fact, an air defense identification zone in general, or an AID is a pretty normative practice. Many coastal states have them as a sort of sorting out mechanism for national security, potential national security threats from the air. So right off the bat, it's important to recognize that China's AID is not in and of itself problematic. It's more the way they announced it, the way they did it, that I think has become problematic. The real problem, and I think what we hear Vice President Biden saying when he says China has unilaterally changed the status quo in the East China Sea, is that by claiming to have an air defense identification zone, that is to say a right to sort out security threats above the Japanese-controlled islands called the Senkakus in the East China Sea. Well, that's national airspace of Japan. Now, to be clear, China does claim that those islands belong to them. But the Japanese have been in control of those islands since 1895. And so this is, I think, what Vice President Biden was alluding to in terms of the change in status quo.
Okay, Peter Dutton, let me push back a little on that, though. This is really the kind of thing that seems to be creating a scenario where China will confront a Japanese aircraft over those islands. It seems that's what China is bringing on here.
Yeah, indeed. And that's the real problem, I think. And that is that because Japan controls those islands, it's Japan's sovereign airspace above them. For China to declare that it has a right to go into that airspace and to use that airspace for its own national security concerns, this is an affront to Japanese sovereignty. And it's a serious one, I think. And it's also regionally destabilizing. I think this is part of the reason why we see the sort of regional pushback, because China's been pushing across the region for quite some time now against its neighbors where it's got overlapping claims with Vietnam and the Philippines, et cetera. And now Japan is facing this same kind of pressure from China. And this is a challenging and destabilizing regional event, I think.
It's Peter Dutton, professor and director of the China Maritime Studies Institute at the U.S. Naval War College. Ambassador Nancy Soderbergh, former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. Peter Dutton mentioned that in 1895, the Japanese began claiming sovereignty over these islands. 1895, also the period where Teddy Roosevelt was mediating another conflict in East Asia between Japan and Russia. Is there a role for the U.S. here, and can it have influence in any mediating sense between Japan and China, in your view?
Absolutely. We have treaty obligations that say that we'll defend the Chinese control obligations. And we will be smack in the middle of this if there's any kind of military confrontation. One of the challenges that Vice President Biden has is to sort of begin that dialogue. This is another testing by the Chinese of its power, its effort to expand its role in its own region, which it has the right to do peacefully, largely, I think, to protect its economic roots and things like that. But this is a longstanding commitment that the U.S. has a direct role in trying to make sure it does not escalate. You asked earlier if there's a military solution here. Often what we will do is put warships in the vicinity just to kind of look scary. And I don't think this is anywhere near that zone yet. But if you see that happening, then we're really at risk of escalation. So diplomacy is the port of first call for this fairly significant development.
So let's push this as the kind of sort of diplomatic chess game that it seems to be here. I mean, I see China holding all the cards in the sense that this little dispute could, if the U.S. gets involved here, force the U.S.'s hand on its commitment to Taiwan. Now, that's inviolate. It's absolutely in treaty obligations. Every president has reaffirmed our commitment to defend Taiwan. Yet, in a sense, China is in a position of forcing our hand on that. And if it turns out that we don't really have the will to defend Taiwan, and most Americans probably wouldn't want us to do so, then the Chinese win.
I disagree. I think we do have the will to defend Taiwan and have actually moved carriers in there in response to, you know, threats in the 90s that the Chinese did over some of the elections. And I think that you have to remember, we're still the largest military power, the largest economic power. China is growing quickly, but it is still no match for us on any level. I will put my money on the Americans every time on this type of thing. But we don't want to have a military confrontation here. But we hold many, many cards here. Number one
is... Let me push you on that. 52% of Americans believe that the U.S. should mind its own business internationally. The Pew study and, done along with the Council on Foreign Relations suggests that right now there is no domestic appetite for interventions anywhere in the world. Even the Chinese understand that Americans' appetite for getting involved in something like this is very, very limited. And this tiny dispute with Taiwan there at the other end of the East China Sea is, right in focus.
That study is actually quite interesting. It says that 52% of Americans think that we should mind our own business. And that's a fairly typical, though bigger, spike after an end of a war. We had similar spikes after the Vietnam War, after the Cold War, though this is more dramatic. But what's interesting about that study is majorities actually say that we need to be engaged in the global economy. And they understand the need to expand our trade routes, deal with other countries, and be engaged in the world for global economic issues. What we're tired of is wars. And no one's talking about going to war with China over this. What it will take is very strong diplomacy. That's why the vice president's out there, perhaps some show of force just to say that we mean it. But I have absolutely no doubt that we would defend Taiwan and Japan, regardless of these polls. But I don't think it's going to get to that. This is China testing. We'll push back. And I think there will be eventually some kind of negotiations on this issue. I don't know an analyst that thinks this is going to escalate to any kind of military confrontation
We've not heard from analysts who believe that either. Nancy Soderbergh, former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. So, Peter Dutton, is the Chinese doing a classic testing for weaknesses on the part of the U.S., on the part of Japan, on the part of regional players in East Asia, and will they find them at the end of all of this, do you think?
Well, I think that's exactly what's going on. A lot of what China's doing in the region, I think, is testing the in part, the U.S. Rebalance or the U.S. pivot to the region. Referring to your point about Taiwan, I do think this is really about about Japan and China and the U.S.-Japan-China triangle. And what we're seeing, I think, is not only a pushing against Japan as a way of testing China's role and power in the region, but we also see a very small potential wedge issue because I think the Japanese and American interests are not exactly the same in this particular issue over the Senkakus. We, as a government, have said that we don't take sides over the ultimate question of sovereignty. We will defend Japan's administration over those islands. That's what the government statements have been. But the outcome, the ultimate outcome of the sovereignty question, we don't take a side on. So there is a slight wedge issue because it really matters to Japan. And obviously, we have chosen not to take a side on the sovereignty question. So what I think we're seeing is, the very beginning of a wedge issue that China is trying to push into the regional politics and to affect the U.S.-Japan relationship and perhaps give China more room for its own political goals in the region.
Some long historical narratives there, a fascinating triangulation going on in East Asia, and it's all making Vice President Biden's trip to East Asia much more important than we might have thought even 6 months ago. Peter Dutton, Professor, Director of the China Maritime Studies Institute at the U.S. Naval War College, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And also thanks to Nancy Soderbergh, former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. Thanks, Nancy.
My pleasure.
So to the tunes of 07 there, that's W Hotel lobby music. Thank you, Jay. The frenzied shopping after Thanksgiving and the pendulum swings the other way for Giving Tuesday. Were you a part of that yesterday? Of course, you give to us all the time.
Hi, this is Patrick from Minneapolis, and we give to charities that we've worked with before or ones that we're interested in. As a newer father of twins, I'm interested in the education and support for new dads. Dads First is our newest recipient.
My criteria for charities that I choose to support always, and especially during the holidays, are those that have the broadest reach and can be doubly efficient, such as buying gifts for friends through UNICEF. My friends get gifts, and I support UNICEF. It's all for the greater good. Everyone wins.
Thanks to Patrick and Judy there in Boston. For Patricia in Hollywood, Florida, it's all about being involved.
Because I'm not in a position to give a lot of money, I focus on small local shelters, programs that provide food and shelter and clothing for local residents.
I'm Robert Morgan from Carrollton, Texas. And being completely candid, whatever crosses my Facebook feed while I'm in a good mood usually finds my donation dollars.
Bob, the impulse giver there in Carrollton, Texas. And this 07 song is called Give It Away. Tell us your approach to giving this holiday season. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. You can find us at facebook.com/thetakeaway. Later this hour, we're talking to Peter Singer, bioethics professor at Princeton University. He thinks we need to change the way we think about giving. It's coming up a little later this hour here on The Takeaway.